Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host Adrian, here with a man who the last thing he wants to do is hurt you. It's also the first thing he wants to do.
I'm Ramon.
Yeah, you are. That was good though, right? That was good.
Let's just say it's not nothing.
It's not nothing. Today, we finish our series on prayer. And today, we also finish this two-part episode on the Novena to
St. Joseph.
Indeed. Our scripture today comes from
1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Delicious.
So let's get started. Day 5 is Patron of the Church. One of the selections from that day reads, "The Church owes her debt of gratitude and veneration to you also, for you were the chosen one who enabled Christ to enter into the world according to the laws of order and fitness. It was by you that the patriarchs and the prophets and the faithful reaped the fruit of God's promise. Alone among them all, you saw with your own eyes and possess the Redeemer promised to the rest of men." This kind of gives me a lot to go on. It kind of hints to the fact that men are the domestic priests. In other words, what that means is that you don't wait for your wife to initiate things, especially when it comes to spiritual matters. It is your mission to lead your family into heaven. So you don't let the wife do all the work for you. You don't let your girlfriend or your fiance initiate anything spiritual, or everything spiritual, I should say. They can initiate, but you have to be the main initiator. Also, speaking of initiating, I'm thinking about priest, prophet, and king.
Hashtag PPK.
PPK. And quick shout out to Andy Shaggy, because he's been working on this design for a graphic that we can use on a shirt or something eventually. And I don't know, it's kind of lighting a fire under me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, I cool. See that. Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to give out that quick shout out to our homie Shaggy, because just to see his gift, you know, being used at the service of God, like, that's just an amazing thing. So I just wanted to make sure I stress the fact that, hey, we are the initiators.
Well, yeah, then the reason why we're the initiators is because we live in service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And starting with our family, And then it branches out to our friends, our coworkers, and the people whom we interact with, mm-hmm, on a regular basis. All the hard work that we talk about, it I don't know, at least for me, I have like a welcome sign on my face that says, yeah, go ahead and tell me a bunch of stuff that you need to talk about or that you want to talk about. And a lot of times I listen to a lot of boring stories that I don't care for. That are, my IQ points go down. They're already at single digit right now at this point. And who are we to say that we're above that, you know? Because we are also annoying in some capacity. It's just one of those things that we initiate, you know, because the thing that we initiate is mercy. I think that we as a culture, we've forgotten, not necessarily forgotten, but we put that on the back burner. And we show mercy. We show kindness.
The selection that I wanted to read was from this day is, "Your help is needed in our day when God's enemy has directed his attack against the family in order to desecrate it and destroy it." And one of the things that I wanted to really, really talk about is the fact that we need to stop being blind to this. You know, if we look around our families, if we look around our society, there's so many people being raised by single mothers, and that should not be happening. That means that a lot of people are being cowards and running away whenever life gets hard. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. And I was speaking to one of my students today. I don't know how we got to such a deep conversation about life and about believing and doubting and all this stuff. But this is a clear sign that that it's happening. You know, we're under attack. And if we're not picking up our weapon, whether it's the rosary, and the rosary should be our weapon of choice, by the way. Like, I'm looking at my rugged rosary right now, which was a gift from a Father's Day from Brother Ramon over here. And that's my weapon of choice. Oh, that is how I get the fortitude that I need to carry out throughout the day, because I know that my family is under attack. And the devil wants to destroy the family unit, because the family unit is the building block, the cornerstone of society. And if you can destroy that, you can destroy anything. When you look at the way things are with the pro-life movement, how so many people, maybe it's just here in California that I'm noticing this, and I'm just so happy to see so many laws that are protecting life, but that's how you break it apart. When you stop putting importance on children as one of the main reasons why marriage even exists, which, by the way, matrimony literally means the making of a mother. And when we're trying to make women kind of shiver away from being mothers, and when we make it socially acceptable for a mother to kill her child, there's a problem. Now, there's a big problem with our society. There's a big problem when we turn the life of an innocent human being into an opinion.
A few years ago, I was having it was a brief discussion too, just because I don't want to pat myself in the back or anything. It might sound good, but I kind of made it that way too. Because I kind of shut down all the garbage about, not necessarily the person, but that could potentially be sprouted out of that. We were discussing about the freedoms and all that, women, blah, 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 blah. That's awesome. I believe a woman should be free. However, not free to murder a human life. And whatever, this person was just kind of going around in circles and kind of trying to find a way to penetrate the armor of truth. Not that I'm the truth, but I was speaking truth. That being said, this person was saying, well, what about the hundreds of thousands of kids that are in foster care? And then I said, well, love is not mutually exclusive to just your birth children. I personally want to adopt a child. You know, we need to be answering our calling to be the foster father of those little redeemers as well. That's what a child is. It's not just the future of America or the future of our church. They're the future redeemers. And as such, we need to treat them with that respect, with that honor. And yeah, they can be annoying here and there. But they also can be cute as heck, man. But they're more than that. They're God's little children. They're the little redeemers.
I like that you say little redeemers, you know, because one of the things that kind of crossed my mind at first, I'm like, spitting out heresy, Ramon? But no, a Christian is a little Christ. Mm-hmm. So a little human that we bring into the world, they're little, if we do our job right, they're going to be Christians. So they're going to be little Christians. So little redeemers, mm-hmm. little Christ, a little Jesus. Like that's basically who he is. And man, I was trying to find that quote by Peter Craved. Just because this one especially gets to the Catholic core, where it says, abortion is the Antichrist's demonic parody of the Eucharist. That's why it uses the same holy words, this is my body, with the blasphemous opposite meaning. Mm-hmm. Because what ends up happening is that people say, this is my body, it's my choice, it's my body. I mean, this is my body, and when Christ uses it, it gives us life. And it brings that life into our being, man or woman. You're getting that divine life into your being. And when a woman says, this is my body, referring to abortion, it's the opposite. It gives you the opposite. It takes away a life that ought to be nourished. Patron of workers is the seventh day. The selection I'm going to grab is, while your hands were occupied with manual work, your mind was turned to God in prayer. From the Divine Master who worked along with you, you learn to work in the presence of God in the spirit of prayer. That brings to mind the Benedictine rule. The Order of Saint Benedict had this saying, ora et labora, which means pray and work. The main thing that I get from that is that your labora is your ora. You know, not to say that when you're at work, that's the same as prayer. I mean that we need to be very intentional about our work. You know, when if someone asks me, I mean, I've said this countless times on the podcast, that if someone were to stop me and ask me why I'm doing what I'm doing, I would just say the same thing that I always say. You know, it's God demands it, my family deserves it, and the world is starved for it. And that's something that I took from a man named John O'Leary. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to make that my own, because like I can't think of a better way to answer why do you do what you do. And so from the very beginning of our day, we need to be, like I said, intentional about this and offer up those you serve, those that I serve, and the ones who benefit from my paycheck, which is myself, of course, but more importantly, the people that I come home to. You know, they're the main reason why I do the work that I do. God demands that I do what I do because he gave me certain gifts and talents. And I need to put them to work so that others may benefit from them. And in addition to that, I get to support a family. And that's an amazing thing. And so when I'm working, if I have done that already, then I'm going to put the right effort into my work. And I'm going to get that added benefit that my prayer, or my work, becomes my prayer, rather. And that's a pretty darn good way to live.
Yeah. The phrase that comes to mind every time I start this day, day 7, patron of workers, is there is no such thing as work that's beneath me. And Jesus, the Son of God, came down in the form of a servant. And you've heard this before, and you know this. So you're probably going to skip the 30 or the 15 seconds, whatever it is. But he came down here in the form of a servant, as a craftsman, you know, shaping wood or whatever else he was doing with his hands. But yeah, you know, there is no such thing as work that's beneath me, because the Son of God came down here to do that type of manual labor. I remember like about a year, like almost when we started the podcast, I spoke about one of the higher ups that I had at some job I had, and my hands were kind of greasy. Even though I was wearing gloves, they still got greasy. And he needed people to work overtime because there was a big order. To make a long story short, he approached me. He reached over to shake my hand and he said, "I really appreciate everything that you do." And then I kind of shied away from the handshake. I was like, "Oh no, my hand's dirty." He just grabs my hand and he shakes it really firmly and he says, "That's all right, brother, we're in this together." It's things like that, you know, that point directly to God. That's what reminds me of the patron of workers, Saint Joseph. Things like that. Sayings like, the world is starving for it. That's actually, I use that a lot. I say that a lot. I've gotten people to ask me, because yeah, I'm not the best worker, but I'm pretty good. I really am. I'm like, man, like, why do you care so much? Why do you do this? Or whatever, something like that. Like one of those compliments. And it's like, well, the world is starving for it. And I don't know, man. That's why I don't understand when people say, well, how do you, you know, balance your work and your life and, or what is it, the work-life balance or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that people ask me personally, but this is what I think about that question, because I hear it here and there. It's like, man, now they're meant to support each other. You know, it's those things that get the hey, little buddy, and turn it into a thank you, sir. It's those things, you know?
Yeah, buddy.
And you're like, yeah, like this is how we're redeeming the world. The world is starving for this, and we're here to work.
Yes, sir. And we've worked our way up to day 8.
Like your segues. So stupid. The best, and everybody knows it.
Everybody. The smartest people. The smartest people. Saying that I have the best segues. And that was a segue to a friend in suffering, now that you had to suffer through all that.
Thank you.
Dude, they keep coming. They keep coming. All right. Friend in suffering. No sound of complaint or impatience escaped you. You were indeed the silent saint. You submitted to all in the spirit of faith, humility, confidence, and love. You cheerfully bore all in union with and for the Savior and his mother, knowing well that true love is a crucified love. But God never forsook you in your trials. The trials too disappeared and were changed at last into consolation and joy. That was a little long, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that so much, and that's so necessary, because I forget sometimes that that's life. You know, things are going to get hard, and then boom, here you go. Here's a little kickback for doing your job. An attaboy, you know, like we get so weighed down by responsibilities in life and just our daily work and our life at home and all the stuff that we must do that we forget that it's supposed to happen like that. That things are not always going to be great. I mean, people that work for themselves, like people who are their own boss, know this better than anyone else because they know that when things are really good, that's the time to save. That's a hill. And so when you reach that peak, you know that things are going to start getting difficult again. And so you prepare for those valleys. Things are going to get better, then they're going to get bad, then they're going to get better, and so on and so forth. That's life. You know, things are not always going to go your way, but you can make them work for you no matter where you are in life. Because when you're down, that's an opportunity to learn something. And another thing that I took from John O'Leary is that when we suffer, and I think it's maybe because I was talking about this today, but when we suffer, three things come to mind. You know, like, why me? And you've heard this here in the podcast too, but it's why me, who cares, and what's the point? You know, and we often ask ourselves those three questions as victims. When in reality, we should be asking ourselves those three questions as victors, as people who triumph over suffering, who come out better rather than bitter. And, you know, why me? Why do I get to have this life? You know, just living in the country that we live in, you know, like that's a privilege. Because there's so many other places where struggling is worse. You know, struggling here, as we live in America, struggling here is way better than struggling in a third world country. So why me? Why do I get to have not just the problems, but the way out of the problems? You know, why do I have to drive to work? Like, why do I get to drive to work? Like, why me? Why am I so freaking lucky that I get to have the life that I have? Who cares? I know who cares. Remember, God demands it. My family deserves it. The world is starved for it. That is full of those who care. First and foremost, God cares if I'm doing what's right. My family deserves me doing nothing less than what is right. And the world is starved for the type of work that I do, for the type of work that you do, no matter what it is that you do, whatever God gave you. And as far as your skills, your talents, and your purpose, your family deserves you doing right. And the world is starved for it. They need you. We need you. The world needs you. It's time to get to work. What's the point? The point is the salvation of the world and yours. We can't do this alone.
A friend in suffering. It's one of those things that, I don't know, man, I got a bunch of examples, but this is not about me. And no, I haven't like suffered all that much per se, but to live in the spirit of sacrifice, you know, to be under fire, call it whatever you want. It's that thing that's going to sharpen up that high moral standard that we are called to live in. It puts you in a higher status and so that you can better nourish the spirit of generosity. I forgot where I heard this from, but I heard somebody explain the importance of being a prince and the job, the responsibilities that come with being a prince. And yeah, you get this super high status. But it's what you're going to do with that status that really matters. Your job as being that high status means that you use all your resources for the greater good. And that's why I say that gives us the ability to nourish the spirit of generosity.
Boom. I like that. You know what I like more? It's dying a happy death.
Nice.
These transitions, I'm telling you. Award-winning transitions. The Novena says, you looked into eternity and to your everlasting reward with confidence. If our Savior blessed the shepherds, the Magi, Simeon, John the Baptist, and others, because they greeted his presence with devoted hearts for a brief passing hour, how much more did he bless you, who have sanctified yourself for so many years in his company and that of his mother?
I did a ride-along with the LA Sheriffs. And it was an early shift, so it was still in the morning. And we got to a call, No, I'm not a cop. I did a ride-along. So they got to call. I was the passenger. And then the deputy was so cool. He had me really, I mean, as involved as much as I could be. And this call was about a man passed out in a car. And he had blood coming out of his nose and his mouth. So we looked around, and sure enough, I saw the man there, laying there. And the deputy opened the door, and he gagged. He shook his head, and then he closed the door. And he said, you know, technically, by law, we cannot declare them dead, because that's not our job. That belongs to the paramedics, but I don't think I have to check for his pulse. So I took a step back because once I saw how serious this was, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to let him do his job. He set up a perimeter and then all that. And it didn't affect me that much because I don't know. I mean, I have feelings because I know if I would have been a child, it would have affected me a little bit differently. And this is a grown man, and it just put a lot of stuff into perspective for me because, you know, I pray this novena, you know, dying a happy death. But this man died with he was sad because he had a bunch of liquor bottles on him. And this was a Monday. So he must have been in there the whole weekend, just dead. He died alone with all that sadness. And all I can think of was just to pray for him and his soul. And just the emptiness that we could be walking around with. And yeah, we may not numb the pain with alcohol or drugs or whatever, but just because we don't do any of that stuff, at least most of us listening to this podcast, I hope so. Just because we don't do any of that stuff, if we're not feeding ourselves, if we're not feeding our soul correctly, nourishing that spirit of giving and to live for something so that we can die a happy death, so that we can fulfill what we were born to do. It's crazy. It's a crazy way of dying. And no, I don't judge anybody that dies like that or anybody that commits suicide. Because I look and I feel that pain. There was a certain sadness that I felt. But it didn't hit me all hard. Because the poor man, even though he was suffering and all that, that's a choice he made. But I ask that we all pray for, not just for his soul alone, but for everybody that dies like that. So that we may all die a happy death.
Dang, dude.
Boy.
That's heavy.
That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
Why you gotta take it there, Mo? No, but that dude, man. That brings to mind that quote, you know, most men, and you've probably heard this one countless times, especially if you listen to men's podcasts, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them. Another quote that I like is, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that speaks to me right now because, yes, definitely, we should pray for this man. I mean, while you were telling the story, I was praying. I was saying a quick little prayer because man, if that man is lucky enough to end up in purgatory, and we don't know how people die. We don't know the state of their mind and whatnot. If he's lucky enough to make it to purgatory, like, we need to be praying for his soul. We need to be praying for everyone else's soul, like you said, you know, the people who die like that. But we need to also be aware of those people in our own families who may be living like that. You know, who may have that particular desperation in their hearts and that lack of hope. You know, it's very important that we be present because sometimes just giving him a call might help out. You know, sometimes just letting him know, sending him a message, whatever it may be, you know, letting him know that they're important. And if they're going through a rough patch in life, that we may be a source of support for them. Because we never know what a person's going through. And when people are, you know, quote unquote, living it up, maybe it's that they're dying on the inside. And eventually their bodies will agree with whatever's happening in their souls. Because, man, when I die, I don't want to die in a car. Heck, even if I die alone in a hospital bed, like, I want to be lucky enough, as that novena says, you know, just pray it. If you're a man, you need to be praying this novena. Because you have no stronger advocate, and no man was closer to Jesus than St. Joseph. Not Peter, not John. St. Joseph was the closest man to Christ himself. And I want to die his death. I want to die with Mary and Jesus next to my hospital bed. I want to die holding my rosary with Mary's name on my lips, with Holy Eucharist inside me. It's what we call viaticum, in case you're wondering. Having received the sacrament that we call last rites, or the sacrament that we call anointing of the sick, because people don't like to hear last rites. That's why they changed the name. It's the same thing. It's last rites. I want to receive that. And if I don't, then I want to die ready. You know? It's one of the reasons why we need to live ready, so that we are always ready in case God wants to call us home. That we may be in such a state that when we get to heaven, we may say we're already there, and not the other way around. So pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferm.
Ferm.
Aquitu.
So my name tag at work, I don't know where I put it, and then there's a somebody, her name is Anna, and then her last name starts with an H, and I was like, oh man, like, I can't be without a name tag. It's whatever. So I still did it, like, kind of as a joke too. So I put it on, right, just for the coworkers. But then, like, somebody needed help, they were gonna, you know, pick up something, and then the man was like, what's your name? And I was like, oh, it's Anach. So, what is it? Oh, it's Anach. It's not N-H, it's Anach. So, oh man, everybody started laughing back then. It's N-H. Anach.
He's good, no?